Hi guys, this is Ben from 561 Music. We have a new single out. It's called Deader Than Dead from our new band, Nina's Yard Party. It's the second single we've released, and it's available here on the 561 Music YouTube channel or on all streaming services. Go and check it out. We spent a lot of time working on the video, and it came out really great, I think. Music free ya, don't allow propaganda to teach ya. So many lies to allow me to show ya. It's hard as living in the world of the dead, yeah. Shots ring out, dead and dead. Welcome to 561 Music. My name's Ben.
And I'm Hector.
Oh, you're a sight for sore eyes, man. I'm glad you came down.
I'm exhausted. I'm sore. I'm in pain. I'm tired, but I'm here.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Still a lot going on for 561 Music Festival and a lot still to do, so.
Yeah, man. So how's all that coming along then?
It's coming along. It's coming along, man. Getting all my ducks in a row. And I put out a bunch of like information to the bands and stuff and ordered a bunch of things that needed to be ordered, and all started arriving today. So, you know, I look like some crazy bored housewife because I got like 42 Prime packages showing up today. Yeah.
The two all or me.
Yeah, or you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stacked up and everything. So, nah, it's good, man. It's good.
Wicked. Okay. I'm so glad it's all coming together.
It is, man.
I've been holding the fort down a little bit with the podcast where you've been working away at the festival, and I think, you know, like division of labor, it seems to be working okay.
Yeah, no, it's been good, man. It's been good. I got a lot done this week, so.
Nice one, man.
Yeah.
So this weekend, we played at Das on Friday.
Yeah.
And that was it. So it was a bit rainy, so they didn't do the food truck thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought, oh, that means it's going to be dead. It was not dead.
No, it was packed, man.
Yeah.
Like, the whole sidewalk was full. I think everybody was going to go to the food trucks, just came to see us.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was fun. It was good.
We had a riot on that one. And then on Saturday, what did we do?
Paddy Max.
Oh, that's right.
That was a crazy weird gig, man. There was like, I mean, people were like all Irished out, I guess, you know, from the previous weekend. So there was only like a handful of people there. But we made more in tips and merch at that gig than we have in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane.
I know. It was wild. And actually, it did start to get...
There was a $100 bill in there from somebody for crying out loud. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was really weird. It's like everyone who saw us on St. Paddy's Day who didn't get a t-shirt decided that was the day they were going to do
it. That was the day, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. We sold like 10 shirts and like two or three.
You sold like five of them before we even started playing.
Yeah, yeah. It was really weird.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, we played Hope Sound Farmers Market.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. It was first time there.
It was cool. They got a really big stage. It's a fun... We were all trying some moves out, weren't we? So to see how we were going to do at some fest, we were just like flexing on that big stage.
And, oh, man, it was fun. It was fun. I was like tossing the bass around and stuff. I got a little worried a couple times I was going to drop it, but, you know, I didn't. It's fine.
No, I feel like you need a bit of experience on big stages because, especially for us, because we're...
So stationary.
Well, we're stationary and we're also... There's not like a lot of... like. James and I have to be still, and then you're in the middle.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of us, you know, so it's like, how do we fill up a big stage?
I'm thinking what we need to do, man, is a wireless on the upright, and then on the pin, put a locking wheel so it can lock when I'm stationary, and then unlock it with my foot and roll around the stage.
Oh, there you go. That'd be brilliant.
So
I've been broom.
Yeah, I've been giving that some thought. I gotta figure out the logistics on that, make sure I'm not going to kill myself or break the bass.
That sounds very exciting, I have to say. And then... On Sunday night, we did a reggae show at
Reggae
Northwood.
Sundays. Yeah, Reggae Sundays at Northwood.
Yeah, and it was really good. It was, I thought that Nina's Yard Party did a grand job.
That was really fun, man. We kicked the tires a little bit on Nina's Yard Party and then did our first show, and that was fun. And I got to tell you a funny story, which you already know the story, but I got to tell everybody else the funny story. So I get to the show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It started out with Andre. Andre got to the show and was wearing a t-shirt that was a little controversial with some of the bands there, some of the other band members and things. And so long backstory, which I won't get into, but it was a little controversial. So they were like, man, I can't believe you're wearing that. And you know what? So he walked over to Emily, Mad Mellow, and she had a merch table up, and so he bought a Mad Mellow t-shirt. I did not know this. And so a little bit later, Ricky comes up to me, and I was wearing a Billy Doom is Dead t-shirt. And Ricky looked at me and he goes, "Bro." And then I looked down at his shirt and he's wearing the exact same shirt, exact same color, exact same thing. I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, you can't have two band members wearing the same shirt."
Yeah.
So what do? I walk over to Emily and I buy a Mad Mellow shirt.
Yeah.
I put the Mad Mellow shirt on, and about 10 minutes later, Andre walks past me and I go, "Son of a bitch."
Oh, man.
So now my wife and I are in the parking lot. We're like stripping down in the parking lot, switching t-shirts. I'm walking around with a Nirvana t-shirt that's just like swimming on me. It's just, she likes to wear these oversized shirts, and you know, so now I got this stupid 2X shirt or whatever that I'm swimming in. I look stupid, and it's like flapping around in the wind.
It
looks like a
you
sail.
You pulled it off, actually. I don't know how you did.
Yeah. I started thinking, man, if Kurt Cobain walks in wearing a Nirvana shirt, I'm fucked.
It was a lot of changes.
Dude, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I don't think I've changed my clothes that many times in that short a period of time. You know?
The thing that I've been thinking about this whole time, but I haven't said anything, is how come Ricky got to wear the Billy Doom is Dead shirt?
Well, that's true. That's true. But Ricky was working hard, so.
Yeah, you're right.
Ricky was working hard.
I feel like you should have fought for it.
I need to just, like, you know, we always talk about, like, spare cables and spare strings and spare this and spare that. I need to, like, bring a spare, like, black plain t-shirt or something. Because two black t-shirts is okay. It's just two black t-shirts with the same print looks a little weird.
At any given time, I have, like, one or two different shirts and like a kind of dress shirt, you know, like a plaid shirt.
I just leave them all
in my car.
I got to start doing that, man.
But I mean, the problem is though, that my car is so, I have all the things I need in there, but it just means that I have tons of stuff in my car. And it's starting to drive Justin nuts too, because I've been bringing a lot of stuff into work too. I got to like chill out with like the belongings. it's all very useful stuff. It's just getting to be a lot. I need to start streamlining my life a little bit.
Man, I wish. I have too much crap in my life.
So we have Give It Up with us today. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Howdy.
Good.
Hello.
So I heard about you because our mutual friend, Andy, he was like, "Oh, these guys said that, you know, they'd like to come on the podcast." And so I reached out to you and you just immediately were like, "Yeah, sure. Sounds great."
I mean, Andy was telling us, he was like, "Oh, we got to get you on the 561 Music Podcast. You guys would be great for it." We love Andy. Andy is an amazing person.
For sure. Yeah.
We always love that. If he talks us up to anybody, it's the best.
So, I gotta ask the $1 million question though. Is Andy in your band?
No. Which is surprising because he is in like 80 different
That's
bands
my point.
All at once.
That's my point.
Maybe next week.
The amount of energy that
he will be now, right?
He's a wizard.
Multiple Andys. That's just how
he's a wizard, because this is why I think he's a wizard. He somehow manipulates time to find a way to do all of these bands and then like still have fun and always have a smile on his face.
Oh,
how, Andy? How?
I know. I've seen him hold jobs down.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen him in three different bands like on the same day.
Yeah.
And not at the same festival or venue, like at three different venues.
It's insane. Yeah. I'm like, how do you genre jump too? Like, he'll go from like Muggles, he'll go to something else. I'm just like, how do you do this, man?
Yeah, totally. And you know what? It took me a while to realize how good of a musician he is too. He really is good.
He's
really
good. Yeah. No, he knows his stuff. He writes really good tunes too.
Maybe he's cloning himself, you know. Yeah. There's more than one Andy.
Well, there is. Yes. He has a twin.
Yes.
So it could be that.
Could be that.
They do this brother thing. I don't know if you've ever seen them do it, where they play as conjoined twins.
No way.
And they do a song called Brother Brother. It's amazing.
Like, oh,
it's,
sounds it's, I've, it's he's, one of my I've heard things. Of it, but I've never seen it.
If you ever have the chance to see both of them do brother together, it's a treat. Like,
oh, it sounds
amazing.
It
is amazing.
Yeah, Ryan's a cool guy as well. Big up, Ryan. Hope you're doing good. Yeah, cool. So why don't we get into like how the band started? Like, because it was quite recently, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of a funny story because it goes back a little bit further than the band does.
Yes.
Because
it definitely does.
So I moved to Florida from Long Island about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And when I got here, I was like, I was getting bored because I didn't know anybody yet. And I was like, I want to try getting back into a band, because I'd been in a band in New York years before for a long time. And looking through all these ads and stuff, and I reach out to this group that's like, "Oh, we're looking for a guitarist." I'm like, perfect. And it ends up being Dave's band.
Right, okay.
And it was just funny because I went and I wasn't feeling it. So I ended up not joining it. And and then after that, Dave hit me up and he was like, I'm not playing with them anymore. I've got a couple guys that are interested in maybe jamming. Do you want to get together? And the first people we got together with was a strange, strange situation.
I've had some weird ones, man. I got to hear yours. What was strange about it?
The strangest thing to me is like, so they set this up, didn't they? Like,
they were totally gung-ho about like getting together and like making it work.
The type of music they want to do.
Sent us some like past stuff that they had worked on and it sounded really cool. So we're like, all right, awesome. So we've had slightly jammed together. So we kind of knew our
vibes. We have a rapport.
Yeah.
And the other two people kind of just showed up and...
Well, when you start to like practice, you go like, all right, what do you want to do? And they just go...
I don't know.
And then we're like, well, what songs do you know?
I don't know.
So then we're just like, all right, let's play like Blink-182, Damn It. Yeah. Everyone knows how to play that. It's super simple. Like, let's get the
And this is the type of band we're trying to start. So like, it should be like a given.
I'm not going to say names, but like, as a drummer, you have to keep a beat. And if you can't keep a beat, like, while trying,
it's
like,
nice you do all the fancy shit, but if you're not on time,
just didn't have the feel.
You got to be able to walk before you can run, that's for sure.
I feel like I auditioned for the exact same band at one point.
Aren't we all?
The singer started scatting when we were just jamming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was I was like, nope.
Years ago, I auditioned, same thing. I pulled up an ad or whatever, and I auditioned for a band years ago. This is a long time ago. And I got there, and it was just not good. Like, these guys just weren't great. Like, the drummer was out. Yeah, it just wasn't great. And then fast forward, like, almost 10 years later, I was looking for a band or whatever, and I was answering an ad, and it turned out that it was the same guys. And I thought, and I didn't realize that at first, but then I came to realize it before I went, like, well, I want to just call up and say no. So I'm like, all right, you know, let me give them a chance. You never know.
It's been 10 years.
They've practiced.
10 years is a long time.
It's been 10 years. They've practiced. Man, they were worse than they were the first time.
How do you regress?
They went backwards. It was crazy.
10,000 hours, something makes you an expert.
You have been like 2 hours apparently. In
those 10 years.
That's hilarious. So, what kind of music was it? Like, what were they up to?
It was all the standard, like, '90s rock, grunge, alternative. That's what
I think we've all kind of been in that band.
Yeah.
I very recently was in that band. So
I feel like when you go to these like, you know, gritty bars around here and stuff, and I'm not knocking cover bands by any means. There's plenty of really good cover bands out there that make good money. So, but yeah, man, I feel like they're all playing the same music.
Oh yeah,
they're all playing like it's. You know,
it's what people want.
That's what I was going to say.
You don't have a choice.
That's what I'm going to
say. I'm going to do Bush Machine Head. I'm going to do Alice in Chains. I'm going to do
Superman.
Yeah, I'm going to do all that.
Three Doors Down.
Yep.
SR-71.
A little bit of Pearl Jam, maybe.
Yeah, man.
I did some Smashing Pumpkins.
And there's nothing wrong with any of it.
No.
But I feel like I could pick out any band, any cover band or most cover bands in any gritty bar around here, and I'm going to hear. I could pick 10 songs, and I'll probably hear 8 of them that night.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like some kind of Florida law that they have to play Santa Rita as well.
Well, no, man.
Or ZZ Top. ZZ Top.
Or the Bon Jovi one.
Tush.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. Like, I actually filled in for a while. I was kind of between some bands and stuff, and I was doing a lot of fill-in gigs. And it was dumb. Like, they'd send me their, you know, somebody would be like, hey, can you fill in? It'd be like a Wednesday or something. Can you fill in for us on Friday? I'm like, yeah, send me the set list. I'll figure it out. You know, some root notes or whatever. I'll figure it out and play bass. It's no problem. And then they would send me the set list, and it was like, oh, well, I know 38 of those songs already.
We can do a solid 2.5, 3 hours.
Yeah. It's crazy how many, like, songs cross. Yeah, anyways.
That's funny.
I digress.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys met through having previously been in a band, and then
didn't work out, and then we just finally were like, let's just do our own thing.
Yeah.
We know what we want to do. We both love punk and skate punk and stuff like that. So at that point, we were on the hunt looking for people, and
so that created a group text.
Yeah.
That became, what about this person? What about this person? Let's reach out to this guy. This guy's new in town. Let's reach out to him.
And it was just the two of you at this point?
At this point, it was just us two. And then
hold on. Hold on.
Hold the phone.
Oh, boy.
The mother of all, like...
Oh, wait. Are you going to say the...
others.
Dude, okay. So, I can't even like fathom we're how like crazy this is going to sound.
Gossiping old women over here.
I love it.
I'm excited. I'm in the band.
So we're looking for members. We're looking for members. I think we had practiced once or something like, no, because it was before we had a singer. So it was when we were still looking for people. And Dave comes to me and he goes, I got this guy. He plays guitar and he sings. And I'm like, fucking A. Awesome. That sounds great. And he sends me this dude's profile. And I'm looking at this dude. I'm looking at his name. I'm like, this guy tried to fuck my girlfriend when I lived in Long Island.
No.
Yes.
Can confirm, because then I called instantly when he told me about that. He was like, that guy tried to fuck my girlfriend, who is now your wife. And then I instantly went back to that guy and I was like, so I hear you try to fuck my friend's wife. I go, what are you doing? That's not cool, man. Don't fuck my friend's wife.
But this was in New York?
New York. And now years ago. And then you like met him down here? 7 years ago.
Oh, wow. I got to give one of those. So my wife's ex-boyfriend of about 10 years moved pretty much onto the same street as us in Florida. And they're from like...
Then you question shit, man.
I know. They're from Long Island, you know.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. So, people.
I know.
Come in here, man.
It really is a small world. It's just people crop up all the time. Yeah, more than they should.
Yes. That was like an absolutely insane thing to the point that like my wife was just... My wife has a very like kind of... twisted sense of humor. So, like, the fact that this happened was the best thing. It was, she wanted to just like eat this forever, like hide it away for the winter. And that kind of solidified
things for me and Sean to be like, all right, cool. We're gonna write things together. Yeah, we're gonna make little fun jokes about this. We'll put this into songs and stuff. And then randomly one day, he was like, found the drummer. Found him. You talk to him. I hit him up. We're gonna see if we can meet up. And then we met up and it was just like, it was like capturing that lightning in a bottle. Yeah. Just fun. Everybody was just, there was no egos. There was no nothing. It was like, hey, what are you into? What are you into? And it all hit the
we
same
all knew
boxes.
Certain songs together already.
Yeah, just pulling out like, what was that? Phoenix TX threesome just out of nowhere. Just be like, let's play this old random like, random jam. So.
That's awesome. And it's funny too, because I was a guitarist. Up until we decided to start this band.
Sean literally
was just like, yeah, I'll play bass. And then picked up my bass, picked up an amp and the whole thing. And it was just, at the same time, I'm like, they're doing the songs. I'm like, I could do this on bass. And I'm like following along. So it was all a real interesting experience.
That's funny, man. That's how I started playing bass. I was in a band. It was like high school. And I was in a band playing like some real light keyboards and stuff in this band. And bass player left. And they're like, shit, now what do we do? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll go buy a bass.
Hey man, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. Like
keep the music going.
Exactly. And the bass is fun too.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I'm definitely a frustrated bass player. Like I love it. I love playing the bass. I never get the opportunity, but I really enjoy it.
I'm a guitar player and will say that I'll load up Rocksmith, load in my bass, and you know, I didn't, you know, mod it and download a bunch of songs. But like I'll play along to everything that I'm like that I just love. And playing bass just, it makes me happy too. Yeah, so I get it, man. I get it.
Also just coming from this, like, this mindset with guitar where it's like lead, rhythm, you know, all this stuff. And bass is like, I'm going to do some root note shit and then add some fun.
I'm a rhythm guitar with four strings. Know,
like. Just the right amount of little fun things.
Exactly. Right. You know, don't want to overdo it. But besides that, I'm just going to chill out and rock on stage, you know?
Yeah.
So is this the whole band then?
This is the whole band. As of right now, where we're taking the reins on singing and stuff like that, but we definitely, it's not out of the question. So, I mean, if you like the music and you want to join,
maybe look at
first
time. We'll see.
I mean, right now it's us three. We want to keep
I know this guy is called Andy, maybe.
I have tried to start projects with Andy, but Andy's just like, oh, I've got this going on and this going on. And then I think about Andy and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that to him. No.
I actually asked him when we were like, we're going to start. So I was like, what about Andy? And he was like, no.
I was like, don't do that to Andy,
man. He was
man.
Like, he couldn't possibly.
Way too much on his plate already.
That's right.
He's an angel.
How did you pick the name Give It Up? It's just a cool name.
Well, it's just one of those things where it's like we were thinking about different names. And, you know, we're all funny people. So we were trying to do a lot of funny names and things like that. And what was the first thing that we were going to be called?
Super stoked?
Super stoked. We really like super stoked.
The fact that it just clicked and I remembered it like that.
Because then you could be like, we're super stoked to be here.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of fun. So I was trying to think of things like in the same realm.
And I think it means a little bit something different to all of us. Yeah. I mean, for me, like one of my favorite bands is Homegrown, and they have a song called Give It Up.
Right.
So that's always like, the name is a small, my version of an homage to them. Yeah, got it.
No, it's a cool name, though. I really like it. It's Brad. And you guys, you've been a band for like, it's months at this point?
6 months.
Six or seven months now. Yeah. Nice. I mean, literally last week, that show with Billy Doom at Propaganda was Propaganda. I'm not posh, I swear. But yeah, that was our first show together as a band. Mm-hmm. So we played that. And we've been writing and just, you know, we throw one or two covers in there just for the fun, just for something. People know, people can sing along to while they're learning our music. But I mean, we've been just writing music and just a lot of it is just having the fun, having the experience again, because we stopped being so serious. The band that he had tried out for was just way too serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was one of those things where like, I want to have more fun.
All the fun out of the room every time we were at practice.
And I didn't get it
on things.
Until the second time that I went and practiced with them.
Yeah.
And driving home, I was talking to my wife and I was like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, not having fun.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah. If you can't hang, I say something very similar to this a lot, but it's like, if you don't like the people you're making music with, it's just doomed to failure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You've got to be able to hang.
I just feel like if I can't trust to go on a stage with them, if I can't trust you to have my back on stage and off stage, to be productive on and off stage, then, you know, I won't invest my time further. I've learned that as I gotten older. But when I was younger, I would just bite my tongue, do the thing. You want to do it, but
you got to like each other, man, and you got to be able to get along on and off stage. You have to actually be friends.
Right.
You know, you have to become friends if you don't know the person.
100%.
But you have to be friends. At the end of the day, when you're up there and you're playing, like if you don't look like you're having a good time, the people watching are not going to
know.
That's all that matters. If you ask me, like you can sound good. Yeah. You could sound not so good, but if people know you're having a good time just by looking at you, they're going to love you.
I can make you this promise when you come to a Give It Up show is the vocal notes might not be perfect, but the performance will be there.
Yes.
And there we will jump around and we will throw shit at you and we'll bring you up and have you sing.
I'm going to scream lyrics out as loud as I can if they're right or wrong, just because it's how I feel when I'm singing.
Right. It's all about the fun. It's all about the performance. It's all about having the fun. And as long as the performance is tight and good and fun, that's all we really care about.
Yeah.
So have you been going to, are you like lifelong punk fans, you guys?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up on like the sort of classic stuff like Beatles, Elvis.
Sure.
And I was like that for a real long time. And then, you know, 90s, everybody got a Chumbawamba CD. It happened.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about
it. Then you got knocked down.
There's a place in Bradford. I'm English, obviously. And
What?
And there's a place in Bradford that they paid for the money from that silly song.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like an anarchist social club. And it's super cool. They put like an amazing sound system in there. It's got like an anarchist library on the first floor. And it's just raddest place. Chumbawamba are really cool people.
Add it to the bucket list.
Please.
Yeah. Gotta go visit.
Yeah. Anyway, carry on. I'm sorry.
And then, I mean, you know, I went from that. And I remember it was one specific day. I'd come home from school and I turned on at the time in New York. We used to get a Canadian station called Much Music.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I just happened to turn it on and I was watching something and then they had this like punk marathon and I heard Baptism of Fire. Rock show by MXPX and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard. And then I heard Josie by Blink-182. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard. And then I think it was Motivation by Sum 41 after that. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
I found my calling.
And then since then, it's been ingrained in my head like, just the emotion of it. Like, that's my thing.
For me, it's growing up in New Jersey, the Jersey scene is so strong and Drive-Thru Records being based out of New Jersey.
Sure.
That's all, for me, that was the scene that I knew. I was going to see bands like The Starting Line and Census Fail and, you know, RX Bandits and Movie Life and Homegrown.
What's that place with the bowling alley place I played?
Linden Lanes?
Yeah.
or Stone Pony, the one next
it's
to...
It's the one that's like on the... It's like
Stone Pony. Atlantic City?
No, it's the one... It's the one that, like, Springsteen to play it and stuff like that. It's like a legendary Asbury Park.
Oh, yeah, that would be Stone Pony.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that would be Stone Pony. Because that's right across the street from the convention center. Yeah. Right before the boardwalk.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. That was, but that's the extent of my New Jersey gigs is that place.
So back in the day, Warped Tour used to be right there.
Right there, yeah.
Like right there, remember?
Yeah.
And they had the convention center where they would set up the main stage on the inside and then outer stages for the smaller like label bands when like Victory Records was just starting and Vagrant Records was just starting and they would set up their little small stages. And then along the boardwalk, that's where all the merch was.
Yeah,
and you just walk along the boardwalk, go jump into the ocean for a swim, come back to the show, go was like Asbury Park was fun.
What
and
the fuck? I got a dusty island off of a bridge.
No, listen, let me tell you though.
We're like the rats of the Warped Tour.
Randall's Island Warped Tour was probably one of the best Warped Tours I've ever been to. Yes, that was that Randall's Warped Tour was one of the better ones I've ever been to. That was a good show. And that was a great venue too. That was a great venue. I don't know what you're talking about. He's crazy. Don't listen to him.
Hot as hell. No water.
I feel like there's something in the water at the moment, though. I feel like something's happening with regards to like punk and ska.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like it's coming.
I think the resurgence is already happening. I mean, the 90s is back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and now like punk rock, pop punk.
Well, there's that whole emo
it's
night,
all
everything
here.
Now.
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
it just feels healthier than it has in a while.
It really is.
Well, I think it got to the point
there's
where
there's a certain energy that's going on right now in this scene in general. And it's just exciting.
And all those people that were in their teens, you know, and making this type of music and stuff like that, you know, we all did it. At least, you know, if you were in this sort of room, we all did it at a point. And then a lot of people stop and stuff like that. And it gets to a point where you start your life. And then you go, well, that's okay for now. I'm bored. Or what am I going to do, you know? And then when you hit your 30s, your mid-30s and into 40s, you just want to do that again. And I think that's why it's coming back now is because it's been that 15, 20-year, you know.
I think, like, too, like, when you go back to the late 90s, early 2000s, those bands, like the drive-through bands, Vagrant bands, like, they did was tour. And then, holy shit, I'm 27, I'm 30, I'm 32 years old, I might get married, and now I'm having a baby, and it's like, okay, life is changing, and, you know, attitudes change, personalities change, life changes,
priorities.
And now it's like, well,
kids are in college,
we're gonna do the whole family thing, you know, I'm crushed from touring for the last 12 to 15 years, and now it's like, are we coming full circle again?
Yeah.
Everybody sees what Sum 41's doing right now. Everybody sees what Blink 182 is doing now. And it's insane.
Even more so with the When We Were Young music festival. With that, just brings a whole new set, a whole new generation's set of ears and eyes onto the bands that we all love.
We're not allowed to talk about that festival.
Oh,
it's banned at the stage.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't make the connection. I'm sorry. Screw that other festival. That other festival sucks.
No. Something happens.
So the When We Were Young festival, when they first announced the very first one, we were like, you know, the whole internet went crazy. Like, is this for real? Like, everybody was thinking.
Oh, because it was right at the Firefest.
Okay, so it came out and everybody was like, once they, you know, confirmed that yes, it's real. My wife and I were like, "Fuck yes, we are going to this."
This is like the Wayne's World.
And I have, at the time my son was 18, something like that, and my daughter was like 15, 16, and then my son's girlfriend, who's living with us as well, we were all like, "We're like, fuck yeah, let's go see this." And then, you know, and we raised our kids right, so they like these bands. And so,
good man.
So yeah, so we dropped so much money between tickets,
you got that,
and hotels and airfare, and of course we weren't going to go all the way out to Vegas and like be there for like a day, so we planned a few days we dropped so much money, and 5 minutes before the gates were going to open,
they canceled it because of the wind, and I never got to see the festival.
You should have seen his face on the when he came back on the pod that we did the week after. That was just
They did the second day, but each day was a separate ticket.
You couldn't buy it like Ultra or something,
where you buy a weekend thing and it's like different bands on every day. It was the same show, the same bands each day. They were just selling multiple days. You know, right, like Dave Matthews comes down to our amphitheater here and he has two shows in a row every summer. It's didn't. Like that, you know, they were just, it's almost like a residency they were having there, you know, like two or three weekends in a row, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. And they would sell tickets to each one and it was the same lineup for each one. And so they couldn't let the people from Saturday in on Sunday because it was already sold out.
Yeah.
Oh God, it was brutal.
That's crushing.
It was brutal.
Yeah, because I remember then all the bands like scrambling on social media, trying to find new venues. Like, where can we do this? Where we can do that?
I ended up following like probably 30 bands that I didn't normally find. I don't like following like a shit ton of people on Instagram and stuff, just because I hate having to see like 10,000 things that I don't want to necessarily see.
Right.
And I started following like every band because, like you said, they were all scrambling. And there were a lot of bands that were like, people would start posting and go, oh, man, come out to this club. And it was like, you know, some tiny, like, you know, 200 person capacity club. And, you know, you had like,
come to Frank's Wings. Was, like, Hawthorne Heights is doing a 10 minute set.
Whoa. Easy there, big fella.
handle.
I didn't touch it. My mind
gentle.
Did you take your Dramamine?
Yeah, did you take your Dramamine?
So at the show that we played on Friday, I haven't been on stage in so long, and I am older now. And the stage lights made me nauseous.
You didn't have to tell the story, Sean. You didn't have to
I'm telling it.
But,
oh, my God. Like, I was like, oh, well, that's a new development in my
That is a new development.
Career.
Yeah, is it, what's that? What's that about?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a completely new thing. I've played tons of shows, hundreds of shows, and this is the first time that I've ever been on a stage and been like, oh, no.
Oh, weird. It's like almost like vertigo a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because somebody was like, it's like when you wear 3D glasses all day and then you take them off and your eyes do that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Every now and again that happens to me at Kilbilly's gigs, but it's usually at like hour three and a half when I'm when I'm starting to get really tired.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know the feeling.
Exactly.
When he gets tired, when he has like two gigs, like some him and James do a duo every other Saturday at Square Grouper. And so, and then they're always like on the heels of that, we're playing something else, you know? And so usually about the second or third hour into that second gig, you look over at Ben and he's just completely cross-eyed.
Yeah.
And we're like, yep, he hit the wall.
He's in the void. He's just like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, my eyes just goes, like that. It's very funny.
Yeah.
But listen. I think now would be a wonderful time to check that video out so we can talk about this song. Sound good?
Sure.
Sounds good. Wicked.
Driving.
561 Music and 561 Music Festival is sponsored by Steinger Green & Finer. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to tell you how they're helping. So Steinger Green & Finer is the personal injury law firm you can trust to provide the elite representation you deserve. As your trusted personal injury attorneys, you can count on them to fight for your rights from start to finish. They have affordable services. Professional legal aid shouldn't cost a fortune. That's why, with their injury lawyers, you don't pay a penny unless they win your case. Their team of personal injury attorneys has the resources and experience needed to litigate with big insurance companies and deliver the results you want, achieving maximum financial compensation to cover the cost of your accident-related injuries and damages, from medical bills and prescription medication to car repairs and lost wages. Whatever type of personal injury case you bring them, their injury lawyer team can handle it. If you can't visit one of their injury lawyer locations, don't sweat it. Their 100% virtual communication options enable them to handle your case without requiring an in-person visit. Getting the justice you deserve has never been easier. To be real, we're incredibly thankful for them because without them, we wouldn't be able to put the festival on. They have sponsored the festival, and it means that we can pay the bands. It means we can afford to advertise the festival so people know it's happening. And really, it just means we can do it. So the fact that they've reached out to us and they're helping out in the community, it means a huge amount to us. And we just want to extend our thanks to them. And it doesn't hurt that they're a great business as well. They are very easy to find online. Just go to www.injurylawyers.com. It's as simple as that, injurylawyers.com. So you'll be able to find them very easily. You won't be disappointed with their service. They're fantastic. Thank you so much, Steinger Green & Finer. You really have made a difference for us, and you make a difference for a lot of people every day. Backsaver LLC Therapy is located in West Palm Beach, Florida, providing chiropractic care, massage therapy, and physical therapy. They are 561 Music sponsors, and they're helping us put this festival on. We couldn't be more grateful for them. They've done it before, and it's just a huge help. So if you have anything going on with your back in general, you need some chiropracting done. I don't know if that's how you say it. Chiropracting. If you need a chiropractor, you could do a lot worse than Backsaver. They're absolutely a fantastic company. I know Hector's had some work done by them, and they do a fantastic job. If you've been hurt in a slip and fall accident, Backsaver LLC will help you with your injuries. The worst thing about slip and fall accidents is you never see them coming. The slip and fall itself can be frightening, and the injuries sustained can be detrimental. If you twist and fall in a bad or awkward position, your body will suffer the consequences. Injuries sustained in a slip and fall accident can be quite costly when it comes to paying medical professionals for treatments and pain relief. Backsaver LLC in West Palm Beach works to help patients recover quickly, physically, and also financially. It's one of those things that when you need it, you really need it. And if you don't think you need it, maybe you do. They're incredibly kind to sponsor the festival. Like I said before, we need all the help we can get putting this thing on. So thank you so much for sponsoring it and helping us with this podcast. We're just trying to bring local music to local people and build up the scene around here. And Backsaver is helping us do it. So thank you so much, guys. Give them a call today at 561-684-8774. That's 561-684-8774. It's Root. Now, Oasis Root Carver Bar is in Seagrape Square on Indian Town Road, and it is a carver bar. If you don't know anything about carver, it's a Polynesian root that you grind up and you mix with water, and it has been in Polynesia for potentially thousands of years. It's an old thing that they used for kind of ceremonial and also sort of leisure purposes. It's meant to be something where, you know, that brings people together. You all take a shell of carver and chink them together and say bula and have it together like that. It's meant to be something to bring people together. It's has a kind of an effect, which is, I guess, a kind of a slightly warming effect. It just kind of makes you feel nice. It's not particularly intoxicating. It's not like drinking alcohol. So the atmosphere in a carver bar is sort of like a cross between a regular bar and a coffee house. It's pretty chill in there. You get all sorts of different types of carver bars. Some of them are more like a club, you know, there's sort of like black light and EDM playing. And some of them are more like a cafe. This is one of the cafe type of ones. It's It's super chill in there. If you're looking for somewhere to, I don't know, maybe go and do some work on your laptop or go and have a chat with friends, it's perfect for that kind of thing. There's a foosball table in there if that's your jam, or baby foot as they call it in France. And yeah, Jim, the owner, is a really cool guy, and he has very kindly sponsored our podcast. So thank you very, very much for that, Jim. They also do a poker night in there, all sorts of things going on at Oasis Root Carver Bar. 561 Music is sponsored by Live Music Community. It's where we film the podcast that you're listening to right now, and it's also where I work. Gavin, Hector's son, was a student here for a long time, and in many ways he's the musician he is today because of the teachers at Live Music Community. We taught him not only about his instrument, but also about being in a band, and his band, Unemployed Youth, accomplished a lot of goals, mostly band etiquette, how to work together, and all of the nitty-gritty that goes into being in a band on a day-to-day basis. The student signs up for lessons, learns their instrument, joins a real band, and decides the direction it goes in. And we can take people from very young age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, all the way up to 80. You know, there's no age limit here. We've run an adult program for people who want to be in a band as adults. But really, the main focus is on the kids and getting them playing together and in bands. We are also a studio, a live stream venue. We can record audio or video. The Killbillies live album, Warts and All, was recorded here. It was recorded during a live stream that we did during COVID. Justin had a great idea to record live streams during COVID. A ton of bands came in and it was a real success. Outside of that, we can record albums. We can help you with your EPK. And we have full audio-visual capabilities here. LMC is in Palm Beach Gardens on the northwest corner of Military Trail and North Lake Boulevard. And if you go to livemusiccommunity.com, you have all the information you'll need right there.
We just listened to an ad for Live Music Community, which is where we're sitting right now. And it is customary at this point to ask the guests, do you have any advice for upcoming musicians, young musicians?
You guys want to go? You can go. I'll go first. I mean, the biggest piece of advice for upcoming musician, I would say, is just don't be afraid. Like, have fun. Like, if you have an idea, write it down, record it. Get your iPhone voice notes, record it, hum a melody, record a guitar riff that you have, learn a DAW, have fun, get lost, ask questions. It's the most exciting part of the process.
For me,
I love data input. So the more that I can learn how to make a DAW do or create have a synth do the sound I want to do or create the kind of tone with my amp that I want to get, like that's the nerdy stuff that I will dive into for hours.
Oh, for sure.
Because it not only will I be able to utilize that knowledge then and there, later down in the road, if I'm working with somebody, helping another musician, hey, I know this cool little trick that I learned that we could do this. Yeah. Boom, boom. There's no right 100% way to do something, whether it's plugging in an XLR or what, but like the way that you have a technique, the way that you vision it, it's your art. Do your art the way you want to do your art, dude. And don't let anyone fucking tell you can't do it that way, because that's bullshit.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
100%.
I'd say like diversify yourself, right? Like growing up as a kid, like when I really started to get serious about playing drums and just playing music, I grew up with like Steely Dan records, like playing to Steely Dan. I mean, Stuart Copeland taught me how to play drums before I took drum lessons. You know what I mean? I would sit down and put a Police record on, like the four CD, whatever it was for the Police, the box set. Like I still have that. And I'll never get rid of it because literally like that box set taught me how to play drums.
Yeah,
like, Stuart Copeland was like my drum teacher without ever taking a lesson from him.
Man.
You know,
Synchronicity is like one of my absolute all-time favorite albums.
But stuff like that, it gives you the chops, and that's true for any instrument, even being a vocalist. Diversification, you know what I mean? Don't be afraid. Don't run away from something because it may not interest you. If you stick to it and really challenge yourself, it opens up a lot of doors for your craft.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I agree with that. I'm currently helping someone learn how to use a DAW that I don't use that often. And even just something like that it's really good for just seeing things a different way. You know, if you're always using like Logic all the time and then go to Ableton and use that, anyway, you can shake things up a little bit. Yeah. I agree. You got anything for those upcoming musicians, Sean?
Yeah. I think my biggest thing is don't hold anything in. You know, if you do something, show people, you know, let people know that you want to do that. You meet people that you never would think, you know, that you would relate with on a certain level.
Yeah.
And it creates, you know, it makes your world a little bit bigger. And I think, like, right now, especially, that's, like, a super important thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not limiting yourself to, you know, certain people, certain types of people. You know,
yeah, for real. Life.
And, you know, I think that the unity of whatever you're doing, whether it's a music scene or art scene or anything like that, it's all about getting to know those people and supporting each other.
100%. Yeah, yeah. No, I love that, actually. You guys have made some very salient points. I'm glad I asked you that question. All right, so we just listened to a song. Could you tell us what it's called and what it's about?
Song's called All My Fault. I mean, normally things are my fault. Dave fucks things up habitually. So, I mean, kind of the song is kind of just kind of, it really comes from a really bad breakup. Shocker. But it's just kind of really kind of getting away. Just kind of getting to that point and saying, you know what? You go your way. I'm going to go my way. Even though I'm scared that it might be my fault. And whatever the repercussions is, if I lose friends, if I lose contacts, if I lose whatever, removing you is probably the best thing.
Sure.
So it's kind of, I mean, for a simple, for a pop punk song, yeah. It's
there. It's got a little bit of meat on the bones there. That's good. Yeah. So in terms of writing, do you have any sort of approaches that you use when it comes to lyrics, or is it kind of different every time?
You're the lyrical master. Yeah, in the group.
I usually have been writing a lot of lyrics. And nice. I think the biggest thing for me is I accept change in the fact that, like, right now it's like, you know, especially with pop punk and things like that, I don't want to talk about my girlfriend or a breakup or, you know, the things, like, I'm married. I've been married for 6 years. I've been my wife for 14 years. Yeah. It's like, why am I going to try to trick people?
But I want to write a song about my girlfriend's butt.
That's
okay?
More than acceptable. Like, I mean, that's in your life.
Okay.
That's acceptable. Yeah.
But making sure that's still on the table.
Yeah. Okay. But that was all my whole thing was, like, when I was approaching it, I was like, I don't want to sing about that stuff anymore because it's not relevant to the people that are going to be interested in this music.
You know?
I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on today. Yeah. I'm going to pretend what I knew was going on and all that. So.
Yeah, totally. Being true to yourself like that lyrically, it definitely comes off a lot more. Comes off way better. Yeah. People can smell a rat, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, we write about our bad backs and the fact that we are in bed by 9:30.
I like to call it, you can't fake the funk.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fake that. Who you are is who you are, and if you're a musician, that will come out. And even if you force it, people will know.
Yeah, 100%.
People will know.
And it shows. People can always tell. You know, if you wrote about something that really matters to you, and that, you know, you're not singing it because it was written on a piece of paper, but you're singing it because it's inside you. It's what you feel.
Right. Yeah.
People always will respect that over just trying to force something on them.
Or even if it's just funny. Like we have 100%. A song called Punks Past 30. It's kind of our opener. It's how we gauge people, how they're feeling. It's a nice little, I mean, I like to compare it to our worst enemy. Like that's our version.
It's the catchy little ditty that's about something. There, you know, we name drop at the bands and things that we grew up with. And, you know, it's got that little bit of nostalgia factor that people are really like, ha ha.
Yeah. It reminds me of that line in that Dead Prez tune where he's like, you're a lie, lie, pants on fire, wolf cry, Asian with a Y. Reminds me of that.
Wow. I mean, I have not seen that movie in forever.
Yeah, for real.
That's true, man. Like, don't lie. That's all it comes down to, man. Tell the truth in everything that you're going to write and say.
I don't know, man. I've been married 27 years, and I feel like up until just recently, the majority of the stuff I write was like breakup songs.
Well, and you write with what you know, you know?
But I've been married 27 years. But now it's like,
exactly. You didn't bring the mail in. Yeah. Fucking hate you tonight.
How do you relate on that level when you're in a relationship for that long? You're like, what do people fight about nowadays? Yeah. You know, it's like, you took my babe.
He switched it up now. He's been writing some other stuff. So, you know, I think you might have turned the page.
Now I write about drinking and getting into fights, neither of which I do.
Well,
but
I write about being riddled with tattoos, and I have like three.
We did write a tattoo song, but that was about all of us, and I have one or two.
I mean, I don't have a couple.
Yeah.
You guys got them? You have the little shop.
I got my little shop. I love a lot of pop culture tattoos. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. James has got a bunch like that. So not like he has Jean-Luc Picard on his
peck.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
That just made me Jean-Luc Picard. Hearing that. That's amazing.
He can make it so. All right.
Make it so.
Oh, great. Why don't we take a look at some of your gear? You guys brought some pictures in, so yes. Let's take a look.
Hey, that's my little baby.
Oh, nice.
This is a nice little Frankenstein setup that that I kind of put together. I was rocking a 412 before.
Yeah.
But broke this down. Is it legal?
That's an orange Marshall. I've seen those before.
It's a nice little combo. I mean, the speakers in it, I found out, are really, they're upgraded Screamin' Eagles, and they sound amazing.
Oh, sick.
They're wired stereo right now, so I have to wire them in series so that I can then go 16 ohms instead of one 8-ohm speaker. But that... A lot of people...
How big are the speakers in it?
They're 212s.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 212s.
I want one of those. I want
it sounds so warm.
It's so great. And the Super Crush 100 for a solid state orange amp. This thing is amazing.
Yeah. Sick.
And the direct, the DI out in a pinch, if you don't have a cab with you at a show, you can go DI, simulated opener backed cab.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm not going to say you can put this up to a dual rectifier and say, yeah, it gives you the same tone.
What?
But this will give you really great, I mean, for what we do for like pop punk and like punk and even some kind of like doom metal guys, I've seen use this this amp and such a nice tone from it.
I've come around to orange amps. I didn't, growing up, they didn't cross my path that much, but like, in the last sort of 10 years or so, I'm starting to get it.
Yeah.
I like them. They're awesome.
I was that way with Vox for a while, too. I wasn't a big fan of Vox amps.
No,
and then
I
played a proper Vox amp, and... Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally, my guitar rig at home is an orange cabinet and a Marshall head.
Is it?
Oh, my God. Lost it, Murray.
Yes.
A real twin situation.
I almost feel like, you know... I don't know. I
by
feel like I got. We
combined.
Went to the same pawn shop and we each picked up the wrong parts or something. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Normally, I try not to keep this kind of gear at home. It normally stays at the warehouse where we practice.
Yeah.
For home gear, is literally a Behringer XR18 mm-hmm. as my interface.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and then
yeah.
I plug everything into there.
Sure.
And then this amazing gentleman over here lays down the drums, sends them to me, and then we build from there.
You said that cab is a 212?
That's 212, yeah.
So we have an XR18 for our when we go and play live,
mm-hmm.
and we've started recording, multi-track recording the shows now.
I'm going to have to ask you to give me some pointers on that, because we've been doing ours to set up our internal in-ear mix,
right.
And then we're going to get the snakes, the splitter snakes, so that way front of house has their mix, and then our mix is always the same thing, which for other bands, that's another tip, get into in-ears. Not only will your sound guy
it's
love you,
the investment.
It's so worth it to hear yourself and hear everything.
Well, I think people, when they hear in-ears, they think like, oh, it's crazy expensive to get those. And it's really
they
not.
Also, I think people think it's complicated to set up.
It's not. Super easy. And that's something that, like, if you're going to be a band that's, even if you're a cover band doing like gigs every week and do stuff like that.
We did it for a while, and I still do it quite a lot, but I think Hector got a bit burned from it because you struggle to hear like the big lows, don't you, Adam?
Right. Yeah. So, you said, you don't have to spend a lot of money. I think my in-ears were like maybe $50 or something. They weren't expensive. But in my particular case, you know, what I'm really trying to pull out of there and what I'm really trying to hear is my bass. And I have an upright bass and stuff, so I'm really trying to hear those lows. And unfortunately, you have to spend the money on a really good pair of in-ears to
something
be able to
that
get that low
those drivers
frequency.
Need to hit it. Yeah.
And probably the fitted ones, because otherwise, if it's not
the
full sound,
and then that's the other thing. The ones I had weren't the fitted ones. They fit okay, but they weren't the fitted ones. But like I was wearing just one for the longest time. I would wear one so that I could still hear the house mix, and the stupid little rubber piece came off. I pulled the in-ear out.
That's
rubber
my nightmare.
Piece.
That's my nightmare.
It stayed in my ear, and James had to take like tweezers and pull it out. So then I'm like, all right. So I left it off of that one, so I knew that one was loose and whatever. I'm not going to use that one. So I only started wearing the other one.
Oh,
and
no.
then like a
oh,
month
no.
later, it happened with the other one. I'm like, fuck this. I'm not wearing the other one. These things are out to kill me.
We never found the other one. It's
still in there.
Still in there. Yeah. So I'll get another pair, but I think I'm going to spend the money and get some good, like the
molds.
Ones that you mold, the fitted ones. And then,
It's worth it. I mean, if you're going to be doing it regularly, and that's the route like you and the band are going to go. Yeah, getting the molds is a great way. Full seal.
I'm going
to
do it.
And then do it with, and then have quality drivers. Yeah. Have something that can get to that 20 and
I'm
hertz.
Not, yeah, and I'm not saying, like, I mean, there, you know, you could spend $2,000 on a set of inners. I'm not even saying that you have
you
to
don't
do
have
that.
To. No,
you don't have to do that. You get one that's a few hundred bucks and it's already in that, you know, starting to get into that quality where I can hear what I need to hear.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's about the mine for a click.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. He's mainly
the guys
for the
follow
click.
Me. I play the songs and they're to me and all I hear in my inners is the clicks.
Duke. Yeah. We tell them all the time, as long as you're good, we're good. Yeah, we follow you. We don't deviate away from you. You are the heart. You go.
100%. And like in any other band than Killbillies, that would make sense, except that me and James share the drumming thing. we do use feet drums, so it's a whole different kettle of fish. But what else have we got here on the gear situation?
Oh, that's my Fender Jaguar.
So pretty.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for like ridiculous colored instruments.
I can dig a bit of mustard. Is that mustard?
No, that's Capri Orange.
Capri Orange.
Yeah. God, Ben.
Sorry, mustard. In England, we have,
of course, swapped
orange
out the
mustard. No, we don't.
The PA's pickups.
It's like grapefruit pomegranate.
We all have orange things. That's going to be the theme right now. We all have something orange.
We do. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we do. And, but I, of course, I swapped out the P-Bass pickups for quarter pounders to get that pop punk sound. And,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a really good daily driver. I started out with a one of the Sterling Music Men.
Yeah.
And going from guitar to that particular neck.
They're very heavy and big.
Well, the neck, top of the neck, it's so tight together. Right. I was like, I can't do this. This is crazy. And I ended up snagging this bad boy off a Reverb.
Have you got that Sterling that's like a bit smaller or like the...
No, it's the newer like full size ones.
Yeah, okay, that's what I've got as well.
But
yeah,
the neck just always, like the strings are so close together up at like the first and second and third that I was like, this is crazy. So,
are you going to hoppus it and take out the bridge?
Not this one.
No.
Okay. No, because I love this. I want this to be...
So we'll have a backup hoppus replica.
I'm going to make...
Because I'm doing a DeLong replica, so we'll build ours together.
Yeah, I want to do a hoppus replica. Gotcha. I want to try to get the Jaguar.
Yeah.
So someone I know has that guitar. Someone who came on the podcast had like a replica of...
The bass sounds so great.
I can't remember who it was.
The bass
sounds great.
And
it wasn't even in a punk band. They were like playing some kind of weird proggy tone.
It's a really good bass. The way that he flips his P-bass pickups is honestly makes the most sense that I've ever heard. Because you've got the low end picking up the highs and the high end picking up the lows. So that way you get this nice middle even kind
of
tone.
It's a perfect mix of that P-J kind of, you know, nice blend sound.
Yeah,
that
it's a
butter. I love the Jaguar, man. Bass. They always sound so good.
Also, I play offset guitars because when I pick up a Stratocaster, I look like I'm playing a ukulele. So I'm like, give me something with a little bit more body to it,
sure,
man. I gotta look smaller here.
No, that's a badass bass, man. Yeah, what else we got on the thing? Here we go. What's this fella?
Oh, yeah. As a drummer, this was like a hard one because it's like I have so many pieces of gear that I love.
Yeah, man.
But this snare drum, it's a 6.5x14 DW Bell bronze.
Bronze.
It's a bronze.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's one piece of bronze rolled.
Oh, wow.
It's the best snare drum I've ever owned, played. It's the most diverse snare I've ever played. You can put it in a studio. You can play live. Generally, it's my live snare drum because this thing just it cuts, man.
Cuts isn't even the word.
You don't need to mic this.
Wow.
It will cut. It's loud, but because of the bronze, it controls its own overtones in a way. It's fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah, wow.
Is this part of the Jelly Bean kit?
I mean, all my snare drums are part of the Jelly Bean kit.
The Jelly Bean kit is beautiful.
Yeah, you can kind of see in the background there. I play SJC drums.
Right.
Love them. Love those guys. Anything. They just did a custom drum to fit the Jelly Bean kit that I play from them.
Made you a custom floor tom. Don't be modest. Yeah. They made you a custom floor tom just for you.
Yeah, all DW like hardware. Just because it doesn't break.
Sure. Yeah.
You know. But that snare drum I've got. I don't know. I've got tons of snare drums, but that's that one It's awesome.
It looks super rad. The snare is one of those things where it's so important on a record. The amount of hours I've spent on trying to get the snare right in my life.
Lars Ulrich.
That's also about 40 pounds.
That's a 40-pound snare?
Jesus.
Awesome. I'm going to check one of these
it's
out.
It's probably like 30 or 40 pounds.
Yeah, it's funny, though. Like, you know, you go see a show with multiple bands, and then some bands just have that nice just pop, you know, a nice pop snap on their snare, and then other bands just kind of
dong,
just,
dong,
yeah,
dong.
Yeah, or like a dong, dong, you know.
I can't be that drummer. I got to have the snare that people hear.
Yeah, you know, my son just
for all of their good reasons.
My son just cut a deal with SJC.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, they're in the beginnings of sponsorship where he's they give him a little bit of a discount, if you will. And so he just made the final payment on his custom set that they're going to be sending him here soon.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's really cool, man. He sat down with him. We went back and forth with the guys and. They designed like the exact, you know, he wanted these sizes and he wanted these heads and he wanted these shells and he wanted it. Like, it was everything like exactly how he wanted it. So,
I wonder if he worked with Matt or Jason.
That I don't know. I'm not 100% sure who he worked with, but he loves it. Like, he was playing a Mapex set for a really long time and he was looking to upgrade and he tried Pearls and he tried this and he tried that. He tried DW, you know. You know, he tried all sorts of sets and he played around with the SJC drums a couple of times with some friends of his that had one and he just fell in love with them.
They're great. Yeah. They're great drums. I mean, they're super versatile. You know, they fit.
Send Ron stuff, please. A shirt, anything.
It's been, at one point in my life, I was sponsored. I was sponsored by Vans in my 20s.
Nice.
Man, I tell you what I would give to be sponsored by Vans now.
Jesus. Oh, my God, yeah.
I think they liked me when I was in my 20s, though. I was better looking. So, anyway, man, what you got coming up?
This Saturday, we're playing with some amazing bands. Some amazing bands we get to call friends. We're playing with Billy Doom. We're playing with Young Cassidy.
Cool.
Suicide Bombers. And
are you playing on the Suicide Bombers
the Fat
album
Cat Show?
No, this is the Descendants and
Circle Jerks after party.
At Fat Cat. So
shout out to Andy for and Billy for thinking of us getting on this.
That damn Andy guy.
Andy, I would. You're getting Billy, like an edible arrangement or something Simpsons related because I know you love the Simpsons. We owe you one, buddy.
It's just so funny for us because this is like we've been when we started this band. It was just this sort of like idea. Like we know our limitations. So we're not going in with this like massive expectation and things like that. And then something came up and we're like, we want to play a show? Yeah, let's try to play a show. And Andy was like, last minute, you want to hop on this? And we're like, okay, sounds good. And then it was like, that show, now we're doing the Descendants show where you're talking to you guys. I'm like, for no expectations, I'm feeling like we're doing all right.
Let's make this happen, man. Yeah. Let's go.
We're just having fun, man.
This entire project, I don't even know if I could still play because I had four shoulder surgeries past like few years on my dominant arm, my right arm. So I'm 41 years old. I'm going to try to play pop punk rock music with barely a shoulder left.
So
I didn't even know if I was gonna like hold up. And
just for the record, he didn't put that on the application, so we didn't know he was injured. Health insurance will not be provided to you.
So it's been pretty rad.
It is, man. I'm so glad that you managed to sort of get it back together. Well, I mean, I was gonna ask you what happened, but it's really none of my business. I think now might be a good time to talk about what's happening this weekend.
I was going
to
say, what do we have going on this weekend? Not a lot, right? it's a little thing we'd like to call 561 Music Festival.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
It's it's ridiculous is what it is. It's like sucking up every minute of my life right now, but it's good. It's for a good cause. first of all, I would like to thank the Palm Beach Post because they did a top five things to do this weekend, and we were number one on that list. So 561 Music Festival, cool, that was badass. That was amazing. So the lineup for this Saturday, it starts at noon, runs all the way to 11 p.m.
It's going to be Blapscam, Young Fiction, Killbillies, 33 Lions, Little Things Duo, Suicide Bombers, At the Starlight, Exigent Band, Mad Mellow Music, Bear Maze, Killed by Florida, Butch and the Fat Dudes, Bitter Blue Jays, Zoo Peculiar.
Oh, Every I thought you were going to get it.
I thought I was going to get it. Mount Sinai, Andy Stout. You're going to introduce those guys when we were for the stage. There's no way, man. I guess it's like
Zoo Crew.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. Andy Styron, Smokeboss Militia, Billy Doom is Dead, Brayton, and Ambush. Yeah, Billy Doom is doing double duty that day because he's going to play with it. We had to put him on early so that he can get over to your show and do that.
Yeah.
So the way I see it is you guys should come over and hang out at our show and then go to your, and then go play your
That's
show.
That's what
right?
we're going to have to do then.
Yes,
absolutely.
Of course, we have to thank all the sponsors. Oasis, Root and Kava Bar, Live Music Community, Galliano Family Salon, Rain Cat Recording Studios, The Shirt Series, Backsavers Chiropractic, Law Offices of Steinger, Green & Finer, Matthews Brewing, and Pure Honey. Yeah, man, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah, so at this, and it's literally 3 days away.
Yeah, at this point, if you want tickets, 561musicfest.com. Right now, we just have the $10 tickets. We no longer have the $25 get a shirt or whatever because it's past the cutoff to order all the merchandise. So that's going on now. I can't say enough about it. This year, every year is a little bit different. Like last year, we were hitting our 100th episode, so we did some interview things and stuff like that. So every year, we're doing something a little bit different. This year, there's no food trucks because Matthews has the Scratch Kitchen, but they have these cool QR codes at every little table and everything. You literally just scan it, order from your phone, and somebody brings it to you from the restaurant, which is like two blocks away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have the Scratch Kitchen for food. I can't even tell you how many number of beers they have on tap, but they are apparently brewing or have been brewing two special beers that are going to be just for the festival.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have two brews for the festival. One is a blonde, and I can't remember the other one, to be honest with you.
Nice.
So we're going to have two stages, 20 bands, nonstop music. While one band's playing, the other band's setting up, and it's literally just going to flip the switch back and forth. We're going to have some merch tables there, and the bands are going to rotate out on the merch table. So, while you're there, you can, if you like a band, you can pick up some of their merch, which we highly encourage you to do. We're going to have, of course, 561 music merch. We're going to have,
but what about the,
I'm getting there, man. Slow your roll. Okay. This is a long podcast. So we're going to have t-shirts. We're actually going to have this year's t-shirt is $25, and we're going to have t-shirts from last year and the first year. The first two festivals, we have some leftovers from those. We're going to be banging those out for probably like 10 bucks or something. If you missed one last year, we still have some.
Yeah.
And then we've got a couple other little things in merch and stuff like that. One of our sponsors, Steinger Green and Finer, is actually at their, they're going to have a little booth there because they're the head sponsor of the whole thing. And so, they're going to have a booth there, and at their booth, they're going to have a photo station.
Thing. Oh, they're doing that?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. And I don't quote me on this, but I don't think it's the regular digital photo station. I think it's one of those like 360 things that it does the boomerang thing, like the boomerang video.
Oh, cool.
You stand in the middle and the camera swirls around you.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I think I don't quote me on it, but I think that's what they're doing.
I've never seen the back of my head. So, it'll be the first.
it'll be pretty cool. So we'll have that. We're going to have an artist on site doing live painting.
Yeah, man.
The artist we were going to have cannot make it now. Long story, but I did secure another artist.
Nice.
She is she's a little nervous about doing this. She's never done live painting. So I think what I'm going to do is in my spare time, because I have so much of it at the festival, we're going to collab. I'm going to go and I'm going to help her, and I'm going to sling some paint here and there and whatever. And
just, nice.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. And then we have, the art for that is going to be, that piece of art is going to, we're going to sell raffle tickets, and those proceeds are all going to go to Punk Rock Saves Lives, which is also going to have a booth there at the show. And then also at our merch table, we're going to have a guitar, an electric guitar, a white one, I believe, and every band, as they come in, I'm going to have them Sharpies on hand. They're all going to sign the guitar, and then we're going to raffle that off at the end. So all 20 bands are going to be on the guitar and stuff. So, yeah, man, a lot of exciting stuff.
We're
going
to have to get everyone to write really small.
Yeah. I thought about the back, but then you can't really display it if it's,
Yeah,
it's
on the back. Just got to go small. That's okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is going to be good, man.
It's going to be fun.
Man.
I can't wait.
Congrats,
man.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you for having us, guys.
Appreciate it.
You're really nice, and it's nice to meet you. And I'm glad that there's another punk band coming into the fray. No, you certainly can't have too many. In fact, I feel like right now, as I was saying earlier, there's something's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, something's happening, and it's super stoked that you guys are a part of that.
I don't know
super
what stoked. It is. I'm just happy kids are picking up guitars again.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm real more excited about. I don't even care who they saw playing a guitar, whether it be Machine Gun Kelly playing a guitar. If it took that to make somebody go, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
As long as I'm just happy people are wanting to come back to live music, yep, real music, yeah, and build a community, because would. That scene doesn't really exist the way when we were younger. There's not places that have those big nights out, yep, or have some more bigger supporting acts that come through that book the local talent, that helps, yeah, showcase the local, yeah, talent. And I think some of that's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, tour packages aren't so as big where you can kind of get a single band who can go out and then find support on their way while, yeah, they're doing it, and more bands are doing that, which is great.
561 Music, man. We're going into our fourth year, and 2024 is going to be a big year for us. We have the festival this weekend, but we have we're working with a few people. Ricky, a good friend of ours that's been putting on shows through Long Live the Scene, is partnering with us, and we have all sorts of smaller shows throughout the year that we're going to be putting on with them. We're right now trying to work out some details, but we are talking about doing just that, bringing in a larger act maybe once or twice a year. That's awesome. And pairing off some local artists with them. I mean, the whole point of this podcast is the local scene, build the community and create opportunity for the local scene and for the local bands. And we're doing that with a lot of the shows and the festival and all that stuff. But I think that's the next step. Next step is bringing some national acts. I mean, you know, I'd like to say it's going to be Blink-182, but unfortunately, my wallet can't handle that one.
It takes time to create that community.
Can't even afford a ticket to one of those shows.
Oh, God, dude. Seriously.
Spent $400 for the pit,
so
man.
Expensive. I got free tickets.
Lester Pig plays locally more than Day to Remember, new tour, doesn't come to Florida. We're looking at you, Day to Remember. Newfound Glory, Coral Springs, not coming to town.
That's the other problem down here is
it's expensive.
A lot of bands stop in like Tampa, Jacksonville, yep, or Orlando and do not come to South
Florida.
It's
too expensive to come down, yeah, here. And all that gas to come, yep, down here, you have to pray you're going to recoup that.
Yeah. And so they don't come down sales, here. Yeah. And then, you know, the local bands that are jumping on bills don't have that opportunity to jump on bills, yep, because there's no bills.
They got to travel five hours away.
Back in the day when you had like Spankies that had like Alkaline Trio row, yeah, through, given Alkaline Trio wasn't as big as what Alkaline Trio is now, but Alkaline Trio and another pretty big band at the time would roll through and be who's the local talent that will help be able to support and, yeah, help bring more faces in so we, yeah, gain, you know, your local, sure, ears.
Yeah, that, yeah, was the whole game 20 years ago. That's what we were,
I,
yeah,
wish,
yeah,
it would, yeah, I want it to go back,
well,
to
that. That's what, yeah, we're working towards, yeah, so appreciate having you guys on.
Thank you so, yeah, much, yeah, yeah, thank you so much, fun. Thank you.
Awesome. All right,
see you guys,
see you later.
Take it back.